I'm ready to get this show started because it's going to be an interesting one for the people that are listening. I'm quite sure you have been hearing the topic. I've been getting calls all day via email, via text that are very on Facebook that are very interested in our second half of the show. That hype time, we're ready to go. Yeah, we got a possible spinal injury. Broward Sheriff's Office Fire and Air Rescue had to come in and take a kid off the field and airlift him out to the hospital with a possible spinal cord injury that possibly could have happened on the football field. If we get an update on this story as we go, we will continue to bring this breaking news to you because it's a sad story. If we got a young man that's on the field, that's to you as the show continues to go.
Okay, was that a JV game?
Yes, that was a JV game that was going on. So that, was happening because all JVs here in Broward County, Florida, are playing today. The injuries they said the injury was out, like I said, on an Archbishop McCarthy, a school that private school out west that had the injury. So if you guys can continue listening to us, if we was to get any more information on this story, we will bring it to you live here at ScoutFloridaFB.com on our updates on that story. As we get ready to lead off into the story today, guys, we told you it's going to be a bomb burner here today on our show. Me and Kelsey have been going back and forth on this show all day because of the topic that our producer put in front of us. And we're going to get into some of the scores and updates now for today's show. In Florida high school football, we have a possible, like I said, we have the breaking stories on this story. So we're going to possibly get it ready to go as Kelsey will come in and tell you some of the updates on these stories.
Okay, and on that, we have some of the major teams that are, we had Central in a tough matchup out in the Florida Texas Challenge out at DeSoto High School, and in that, Central was able to come away victorious with a 55-17 victory over S.A. Madison from out in Dallas, Texas. Along with, there were a couple of other Florida teams that had a wonderful week out there in Texas also, that being Cocoa High School, also the Glade Central they went out and was victorious. And the only team that was unable to come back with a victory was Miramar High School. But fans, they put on a great display and they fought all the way to overtime where they came up short as Coach Damon Cogdale was able to try to go for a 2-point victory there. He wanted to go for the win. That's understandable on the road, and he tried to go for the win, and I commend him for that. Since it's not going to count against him here locally and his local record and getting to the state championship, he went for the win, and I commend coaches for going for the win on that. Tony, what do you think about that?
I mean, any time that you can get a coach on the road, you're playing that far away, and you're going for the win is great. It wasn't nothing that will, you know, hurt you here in the district. So why not? You're on the road. You go to Texas. Hey, play for the win. I mean, that's just like being in a bowl game, and all of a sudden you're at the bottom end of the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left to go in the game, and you decide, should you tie the game or should you win the game? And when we play this game of football, you go to win the game, and especially when you're on the road and there's not a, you know, not a significant amount of pressure on this game, because it really was a test game, even though it will count because they're out of state. I think you go for the win. I would tell my kids, you play this game to win, and that's the only way that you can solidify going on the road in hostile territory and win this game. So, yeah, you go for the win on that, Kelsey.
And I like Miramar at this point. I'm telling you now, I like Miramar. I like what they stand for as a team. We were able to go and scout them in the preseason during the springtime. And I like the coaching staff. I like the players. They're very talented. And I think that's my dark horse. I don't want to say leader because I like St. Thomas, but that's my dark horse for coming out of Broward and repeating because we know they have to go through Dade and that big machine down there at Miami Central. So that's my dark horse. I don't know about yours. What is yours, Tony?
I mean, I'm going to stick with the Duluth Panthers as my dark horse for coming out of Broward, a team that, like I said, being led by Manny Martin, a team that is making strides. You can see the great significance in the athletes. You can see how their mindset. You can see when you talk about Broward where the scouts are coming at. I mean, Duluth sideline is full with scouts. Scouts will get an opportunity to come in this Friday and get an opportunity to see kids close up. And I'm guaranteeing you at that game or in the future, this week coming up, you'll see Duluth hallways flock full of all types of scouts from all over the country. So, Kelsey, I'm telling you, that's my dark horse is the Duluth Panthers.
And Diller is loaded also, fans, with a lot of top D1 players, led by Allen Ramsey at cornerback. He's being highly recruited. And then our well-known player at safety, hard hitter, Wayne Lyons. And I like both of their games. They're top players. And they're going to be challenged this week, and we're going to get to that. And they play Northeast. And Northeast put together a very good showing against BA High School. Came up a little short, but Coach Darnell Bennett and the Northeast Hurricanes put up a very good showing. Came up a little short, but as I said, they look like a team that can stand with the big dogs in Broward County. And they have one receiver, Stacy Coley, which is a sophomore this year. I think Dillard will have to pay attention to this kid because he can get yards in chunks. He's one of their top receivers, and he can get yards in chunks, Tony.
But I'm saying this about Dillard for several reasons. I think you got to understand Northeast is going to Dillard. Hostile territory. One way in and one way out, baby. You're off 27th Avenue. You're playing at the Panthers' house. Northeast is going to have to come ready to play because Dillard's going to be fired up. They're home. They've been on the road a little bit. Now they're ready to play in front of their own fans, and it's going to be a dandy over there. So I'm telling you, Northeast, I'm going to give the edge, and I know some people are going to not like this, but I'm going to give that edge to Dillard by at least a touchdown in that game. I know we're saying that Northeast is loaded, true indeed, with the defensive end that's going to be coming out the end. But I think Dillard with Montgomery is going to be able to handle him with their big tackle that's highly recruited also. So that's going to be a matchup on that side. And when you talk about the receivers against those DBs that Dillard has, I think I'm going to give that edge to the Duluth Panthers, Kelsey. I don't see Northeast as having enough firepower offensively to stand up to Duluth's defense.
And on that, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to act like the, I guess, Vegas in this, or one of the people that are going to bet that and say, just give me Northeast in the points. And we got a deal there, Tony.
One thing about this game about football, people, you got to understand, this game, it's about points, but it's at the end, it's winning and losing. And like I said, I'm going with the Panthers by 7 singly, because I feel the matchup when it comes to special teams, when it comes to receivers against DBs, I'm going to give that matchup to Duluth. When you look at the offensive line, Duluth has an experienced offensive line. I'm going to give that to Duluth. Coaching is going to be even. You got two guys that have played, had successful college careers and successful NFL careers. So I may, as a matter of fact, you know, I take that back. I'm going to give that edge to Duluth. Duluth has two head coaches on that staff, and Coach Lewis, who was over at Piper, that led a great offense in the years that he's been here in Broward County. So I'm telling you, that offense is going to come out firing.
And that's going to be a show. We definitely have to keep our eyes on that coming up this week. Right now we have one of the most, talented players in Broward County right now, out at Cooper City, Camden Crone. He's a versatile athlete. Last week, against, MacArthur, he had a great game in having a lot of yards through returns and also a lot of yards in receptions. Camden is being recruited highly, and we want to make sure that we are keeping an eye on Camden, because he's moving up the charts here very quickly. Camden, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, how you doing today, Camden?
Good. How you guys been?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. Just let the fans know a little bit about yourself in that. What position are you playing for Cooper City, and how do you fit into the offense out there?
Well, my main position's receiver, but Coach Taylor is trying to put me in a position where they could put the ball in my hand so I could do some things with it, but that's about it. I mean, receiver, some tailback, punt, kick returner.
And I'm quite sure, knowing you as an athlete, reading about you, following you, and having the opportunity to train you, he's trying to make sure that he puts you in the best position for his team to win. And I've seen some of that, because I've watched you over at Archbishop, and I know you transferred in from Archbishop to where you was an all-state guy, all-county guy. So how are you going to help this team going into the future with the schedule that you guys have? Can you explain that to us?
Well, I'm just going to go out there and do my thing. I'm not going to worry about games ahead. I'm not going to worry about other teams and what they do. I'm just going to go out there and do me, because I got to trust what I've been taught and coached and everything, that it's going to pay off in the long run.
And can you? And I know we talked about it earlier this summer. You had an opportunity to visit some major powerhouse schools such as Ohio State, Rutgers, and Connecticut. Could you tell us pretty much how you think you fared out against some of the other elite young men around the country?
Yeah, I thought I did okay during it. I mean, I could have done better, but, you know, I think it was a great experience for me, because I learned that there's other people out there going for the same thing as I want. I want a scholarship, and it pushes me every day just to say, does that kid from Ohio or Texas or California want it worse than me, and are they working harder than me? And I just have to keep pushing myself just to say, no, that I have to be the hardest worker out there.
So you're saying it gave you an opportunity to see some of what they call the best, and it gave you a different perspective that how hard you got to work, because scholarships are small in numbers.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of guys out there are competing for these scholarships. So it gave you that outlook on it. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, I say we had Camden Crone on the air. It was nice talking to you, Cam. It was, and I hear you at right now you're out at a JV game. Can you give us a score?
Yeah. Hold on one sec. It's 0-0, second quarter, 4 minutes left.
Okay, who's playing the game?
It's Cooper City versus Nova, JV.
Okay. All right. So is it, you're saying it's a zip. Call us back if you get a if we get a win out of that before we go off the air. We'll love to have you back on so we can let the viewers know what was the final score of that game. Because
right.
we want to know. Everybody, you got to figure, we're on the internet, baby, so we're worldwide. And everybody want to know what's going on here in South Florida to see just how powerful we are. So we're going to, we thank you for coming up and thank you for coming on the air. As the season goes on, we'd like to bring you on more often. We're going to head to a commercial break at this time. So we like to thank our viewers. Viewers, hey, when we come back at the top of the hour, we'll have more scores and stats for this upcoming game and break it down for you. But we're going to a commercial break at this time. Thank you.
All right, fans, where would you like to go to have your son or daughter top trained? I'm telling you, you need to go to Get Sensational Training. Tony, tell them what they'll get at Get Sensational Training.
They'll become one of the most explosive, one of the fastest, one of the best athletes in the world. Not in the state of Florida, but in the world. We produce some of the greatest athletes playing the game today. When you look at the Michigan game, you got to figure, that's Denard Robinson up for the Heisman. Where he trained? He trains at Get Sensational, baby. If you want to be a Heisman contender, you better come where the Heisman people come at. You better come where the Hall of Famers like Michael Irvin, Pro Bowlers like Al Harris, come. Get Sensational, baby. The number one training program in the country.
Okay, and if you want to be top trained at skills, skill specific positions, you must have the top training for receivers all around the county here. That's Kelsey Dudley's Receiver Academy. Bring your son to get him to the next level to Kelsey Dudley's Receiver Academy, and I guarantee you, folks, he will get to the next level.
This half of this show has been brought to you also by Get Sensational Hair and Nail Salon. The hair and nail salon that when your lady's going out on the town and you want her looking fly, call the girls over at Sensational Hair and Nail Salon, 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. That's Calandra Sands and Sharosky Jones, and they will hook you up. Men, if you need to get fresh when you get ready to go out on the town, you need to call Max Payne in the same salon. That's 954-786-3997. Get your due done. Be ready for the town. All right, Kelsey, we're going to break out of this commercial. We're going back on the air.
Here we go, fans. Welcome back. Welcome back here. Going into some outstanding players. If you want to know the outstanding players from week two, here you are, fans. We're going to run through it and give you some of the top players in Broward County as well as Dade County that did well last week. We have Kevin Grooms, who is one of the top running backs from South Broward. Kevin Grooms was able to rush for 100 yards last week against Western in a victory for South Broward. One of the kids that I like a lot, Corey Tindall. Corey Tindall did very well for BA, and Corey Tindall had 13 rushes for 120 yards in the victory over Northeast, and I thought that was exceptional there. Those are two of the players that I like going into this week in matchups, because Corey Tindall will be facing off against St. Thomas Aquinas High School, where BA will try to attack the Aquinas defense with Corey Tindall on the ground.
And I think, I spoke about Corey on our first show, and I told people that this will be a young man here in Broward County that will be one of the best. This young man had an opportunity, scored 4 touchdowns. The guy's speed is unbelievable, Kelsey. I mean, I don't know what you say about it, but I'm telling you, when it's all said and done, when this year is over, he will be one of Broward's best athletes, bar none. And I know he's going up under the radar because he made that move, that transition, Kelsey, from Stranahan into Boyd Anderson. So you kind of get a little bit lost in that in conversation as far as when scouts trying to reach you, or they call in one school and all of a sudden you move to another school. I know that happens. I experienced that happening. But I'm telling you, look for this kid to be one of the top here in Broward. He will move up that ladder. The upside on this kid is unbelievable, I'm telling you. St. Thomas will have their hands full with this young man. If Boyd Anderson come to play, like we know they can play, because St. Thomas is going to play. Boyd Anderson, as I said, here you go. We're going into hostile territory. You know St. Thomas will have this thing packed, ready to go. They will be ready to go, no question about it. George is going to have that team ready. So if Boyd Anderson come ready to play, I think that's going to be a game better than what people are giving the credit for.
And I agree there. I agree in that it's going to be a packed game. I expect BA to give a heck of a challenge to St. Thomas because I was very impressed in last week in looking at their receiver group. They have a receiver there, Jesse York. It's going to be key to see how St. Thomas matches up with this receiver. I think he's very polished. He's been recruited by some of the top Big East schools, West Virginia, just to name one. And I think this kid is a top player in Broward County. He's kind of sneaking under the radar in Broward County as being known by the local people out there. But I'm telling you, in this game, watch Jesse York. He's a player. He's a big-time player at receiver, and he makes big plays on offense for BA. Now, another matchup that is intriguing, and we talked about it too, Tony, and the both of us, is that Cardinal Gibbons and University High School matchup this week, where we have Coach Roger Harriet, who we've been saying all along from the preseason that they're loaded over there with a lot of D1 players and a lot of big-time players over there. O-line has huge size. I look for this matchup to be very intriguing because it's the shutdown defense of Cardinal Gibbons, who's just only allowed, 7 points in the last 2 weeks, going up against a high-flying offense with a 300-yard passer in Danny Cook, and he's able to pass for yards with to all kind of receivers and running backs. How is Gibbons going to stop this matchup?
Gibbons, as he said, their defense has been shutting people down. When you get a team, you play two games, and they're only able to score 7 points, Kelsey. I think this is going to test Rogers Harriet, who was the head coach over there at University School. This is going to test how he's going to fare out when he get ready to go to the playoff, because he has to go through the playoffs, and his road to the playoff always stops over on the muck, people. And I know people, if you're calling from, if you're listening in from all over, that's Bell Glade. That's the home of the Glade Central and Pahokee, who's always stopping them, blowing them out. I think the last game, they probably in the playoff, they beat them by 30 points. The game, the year before that, I think they beat them by 40 points. So this game here will test to see if they really are ready to go up against a Pahokee High School and fare out like they think they are. Because I think those kids over there at University School think that, hey, this might be the team that can help them get over Pahokee. Pahokee is always a tough-notch bunch of guys that can get the job done when it's time. Those guys come over there. There's only three schools over there. When you got all those kids, that's why you look at Glade Central, who's fared out 2-0 in Texas. You look at Pahokee, and you look at Glade State. Glade State has had success in one of those Texas Florida matchups. So I'm telling you, I'm still, even in a matchup like that, this will test to see if Pahokee's ready.
Well, guess what? As you named those three schools over in the muck, that is, guess what? One of those schools are being tested this week, and that would be Pahokee. Pahokee faces Dwyer this week, and for Pahokee, that is a challenge in itself. So not only is University School going to be tested this week, but Pahokee is going up against Dwyer, who we saw, fans, on ESPN. Ohio is still kind of shafting us down here in South Florida in that the refs pretty much stole it from Dwyer. So they're kind of playing with the anger now where they want to come back home and kind of stake their claim as them being one of the top teams down here in South Florida. And I just love that tight end slash H-back kid that they have, Nick Lowry. He is a tough player. And Pahokee has to find a way to contain Nick Lowry.
And as you said, I got a chance to watch that game, and I love this kid. Love what the kid can do. Kid played a heck of a game. Played a heck of a game for Dwyer. Dwyer is ranked number 2 in the state, right behind St. Thomas. So I know they're going to want to come back to Palm Beach County and let Palm Beach County know, hey, we are the ones that are the winners here in Palm Beach County. We're the ones set the tone in Palm Beach County when it comes to representing Palm Beach around the nation or here in the state of Florida. So that matchup is going to be a good one. It's another matchup, as I say, to get Pahokee ready for that run that they're going to need to make in this playoff, Kelsey. I'm telling you, I'm willing to bet you, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a big limb here, and I'm going to take Pahokee in that game.
Wow. I don't agree. I'm not with you on that one. No way, no how. From what I've seen out of Dwyer, I'm telling you, from what I've seen out of Dwyer, they impress me. They look like a team that is focused. They have athletes in all positions. Actually, they play a little bit of Iron Man football. They go both ways. And the quarterback plays safety. They're tough, Tony. They're tough.
But I'm telling you, and this is where that matchup is going to overtake Dwyer when it comes to speed. I'm willing to bet you the speed of a Pahokee team, Dwyer is not going to be able to keep up with. I know they played the team in Ohio, and that's fine. That's fine. I'm not knocking the players in Ohio. But I guarantee you, you take that same Pahokee team and you put them against that team, the speed of Pahokee is going to dominate. Those guys over there, man, I'm telling you. If you watch ESPN, ESPN told you. These guys chase rabbits to train. Run them in the fields. Now, you mean to tell me that they're not going to be able to stop the speed of a Dwyer? You got to be kidding me on that, man.
The team out of the muck that's doing something is Glade Central. That's it. That's the team that's doing something. Pahokee, I don't think this is their year. I don't think we don't hear much coming out of that camp. And they're not in any of the state challenges as far as playing abroad and playing some of these schools that are ranked out here. I think Pahokee knows that their tank is not full, and they're trying to stay below the radar for a reason. I think Dwyer's coming in there as a big bad wolf, and they're going to blow that house down.
You understand? As you use the Big Bear Wolf syndrome, there was one house that the Big Bad Wolf could not blow down. I'm telling you, it was one house. He went and huffed and puffed, and he blew a lot of houses down. But it was one house that I think he needed not only his breath, but he needed a bulldozer to blow that house down, and he couldn't do it. So I'm telling you, this will be the team. Dwyer's Big Bad Wolf cannot blow the Pahokee down at all. I'm telling you, when we get back next week, folks, I'm telling you, you'll see that I told you here on Scout Florida that it's not going to happen.
Hey, remember that, fans. Don't let him get away with that. I'm telling you, don't let him get away because I'm going to stay on him. And remember I said, I'm taking Dwyer. He's taking Pokey. I'm not with him. I'm taking Dwyer. Remember I said it. Mark it down. And we're going to come back to that one next week. We got to go to commercial break right now. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2.
As they say, this commercial break. Hey, I got to get ready to go out on the town. What's going on? Man, it's a big show coming. I got to call Max Payne to get my hair done. Let me call the folks over at Sensation to see if I can get me an appointment. Who is this? Hey, Max Payne. I'm heading out on the town, partner. I need to get my dude done. I need to get this fresh tape. I need the Steve Harvey dude. So if you can get me that Steve Harvey dude, this is the place that you need to go. Sensational Hair and Nail Design. That's 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Or you can look the ladies up on Facebook. And they will tell you right then when you can get your appointment in. Ladies, gentlemen, head there. I'm telling you, you won't forget it. Best prices in town. Tell them the folks at Scout Florida told you so. And that will be your baddest hairdo you will ever experience.
Hey, and tell them. Where do you want to go for the top training to send your son or daughter, even your daughter? That's right. We're talking about both son or daughter to get the top training to make it to the next level, whether it be basketball, football, soccer, baseball. You need to send them to Get Sensational Training. Tony, tell them what they get.
The most explosive, the fastest training in the world. If you want your son or daughter to be the best, to be like the Heisman Trophy candidate this year, you best to call the people over at Get Sensational. If that's what you're looking for, you want to compete with the rest of the country, call the folks over at Get Sensational. Ask the guys over at Cooper City High School. Cooper City is now on a 2-0 run, and they got their training done by Get Sensational. Now, I have a son that's a receiver. I need to call some folks up. Who do I call? Call the folks over at Kelsey's Receiver School. Kelsey, tell them what time it is.
In the receiver school, you want your son to be trained and be one of the top receivers going to the college level or even the NFL level. That's right. Kelsey's Receiver Academy will get them to that level. Skill-specific training for the best in receivers all around Broward County, even Dade County. So make sure that they come to Kelsey's Receiver Academy.
Folks out there, I know you're waiting. I know you're waiting. I know you want it. I know you want it so bad, and it has come to the top of that hour. When you hear the music starting to play, you know what time it is, folks. It is the hype time of Scout Football. And every time you hear this music, we'll bring it to you when it comes to hype. It's hype. We'll be. It's Little League Football. Modern Day Slavery. I say it again. It's Little League Football. Modern Day Slavery. People, call in on your questions if you have it, because we're going to get deep in this topic, because a lot of people been hitting me up on this topic. Why do you pick this topic? Tony, why is our producers gave us this topic, and they said, it's Little League Football, Modern Day Slavery. I'm going to give you a little quick breakdown, and then we're going to go into it. If you have calls, if you have opinions, call us up, and we're going to take your call and see just what you got to say about it, what I mean by that. Okay? Now, follow me. Put your mind where I want to go. Think back to the days of Roots, the show when most of our age was able to watch this show. Okay? You was able to watch the show and see how this show came about. You saw people going to bid on, to me, I called them athletes because they was big brutes. The same thing now that we need, these guys are coming into these homes and saying, hey, I need a big, fast athlete on the field, and whatever it takes to pay for it, I got to get it done. They're going into the home. They're saying, okay, hey, let me pay a bill. Let me buy some school clothes. Let me get some something. Let me pay something because I need that athlete on my field. I need us to win. And that's why we said, is Little League Football modern-day slavery? Me and Kelsey had a difference in opinions on this. Some people said, what modern-day slavery? Some people said, called it pimping and hoeing. But I called it, and my producer said, is it modern-day slavery? And we're going to leave that up to our viewers. I got my opinion on it. Kelsey has his opinion on it. But I still say, when you listen to this show, and we get deep in this topic, because we got a whole half an hour on this topic, I compare it to modern-day slavery. When you're able to buy and sell for good. And understand, I said in some cases where you see the parents are pretty much the masters of their plantation, and the kid becomes the slave because the kid is being able to be bought. I give you X amount of dollars, you give me your child to play for me, and we put him on the field, and we make him play. Now, it becomes where? What do he got to do? He got to run, kite, run. He got to run. I need you running. I need you fast. I need you jumping. I need you to move whatever it takes on that field. What do you think about that?
I think that, and chiming in on this, like Tony said, we touched on this about a couple of days ago, and this is it can be a touchy topic. It is a touchy topic because we have what we call the have and the have not. And that's what me and Tony were talking about. And in that, I told Tony that I'm part of it in that slavery, in that if I take my daughter, who's right now, she's going to be four soon, and she'll be starting in the soccer. Yeah, Tony, I'm taking her to the top program. I'm going to take her to the top program, but I may fall into what we call the have group, in that I am taking her to the top program for her to have a better success chance. But if they're dishing out a little bit of the cash, then hey, buddy, I'm taking it.
So you're telling me now, and this is what I'm saying. So you're telling me, somebody comes and say, okay, your daughter tell you, Dad, I want to play on the east side. I want to play on the east side. Now, follow me. But you got a guy on the west side say, okay, Kelsey, hey, I got, you know, $5,000 here. I need your daughter to play with me. Now it becomes, do I take this money, not let my child play possibly where they want to play with their friends? I take this money and say, okay, no, you got to play where I tell you to play. Because it was the same idea when a slave master bought his slave to auction, and he said, you're going to go to this person, to the plantation owner that buys you. You're not going to go to where you want to go. If I free you, you're going where this plantation owner is going to tell you you got to go. So I'm telling you, I'm telling you, it is modern day slavery. Now, if you call in anything else, call us. Call in and let me know. That's why I'm saying, I stated the topic, it is what it is. I called it modern, the producer said it was modern day slavery, and that's why we stated. Some people say it wasn't, some people called it other things, but I'm telling you, when you do that, do you mess with the dignity of this child? And that's what I'm trying to find out, Kelsey.
And what, in saying the dignity, I'm not going to let my daughter know. Yes, I'm going to take that $5,000. Yes, I am. I'm telling you right now. But I'm not going to let my daughter know if it's on that scale. Now, I understand. Yes, there are, I mean, let's be honest. Yes, there are some people out there that are dealing in fast money, that are running these little league programs, and that are putting bounties out there for players, to bring players in. They're recruiting by money means, and they're putting bounties on these players, and they're threatening these players if they do not make a certain outcome towards that fast money coming back to that gambler. But in some areas, yeah, I guess it is being, you know, put out there too much. In some areas, it's being kept behind the scenes. Fans, is it modern day slavery? Yes, it is, but let's look at it this way. Slavery, in the terms of how we may use it now, may not be the way that we used the term slavery back in the day, Tony.
But why is it? If you're, now, unfollow me, that's why I made it made it clear. You're selling the same thing that they sold back then. Athletes. When you boil it down, plantation owners came to look for athletes at these auctions. Coaches come in to look for athletes. Money is being exchanged for a product. The plantation owners wanted you to man their fields, make sure that you was big enough and strong enough to get the job done in a certain amount of time, because back then, time meant money. On the football field, I'm coming to buy a product. Touchdowns mean money. I understand what I'm saying. Touchdowns mean money. So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Is it? In the form of modern day slavery. And I said modern because it's been tweaked a little bit. That's why I'm able to use modern. Some people say, well, slaves didn't have a choice. If you clearly heard what Kelsey said, he said, guess what? His daughter's going to play where he tell him to play. Okay, now, in that instance, does she got a choice? I want to play with my friends, or do I take my, just by him not telling his daughter that she's not going to play over there, and not telling him, he still got to deal with that. And that's what's happening with parents. Parents understand. I don't care what amount of money that they give you, your child value is not that. It is not that. I'm telling you. Your child value is not that. Your child value is way above that. And in every instance of the word, it is way above that. In every aspect of the word. That's why I tell you, you need to research, and that's why we're bringing the topic up, because I'm glad we're bringing this topic up, because of the simple fact, I think It's going on, and it's going on now to evaporate. Some people come back and say, well, it's no different than college, Kelsey. They're going to tell you, no different than college. So what do you, I'm trying to figure out, if it is no different than college football, what people are getting something in college football. We'll get an education. Little league guys are getting nothing. They're able to stay there until some of them stay until their 10th grade. They have no grades enough to play high school football. So the little league guys say, okay, hey, come back and play for us. We'll pay you. You come play for us. Now it corrupts that kid when that kid gets ready to go to the high school because the kid's going to want that value in return, that same idea. I'm big on, you know, you give something for something, but in the way that you give it, you got to be careful that it doesn't come back to bite you or your child. And that's what I'm talking about.
And callers, we want to hear from you. Call in. Number is 415-287-0074. Again, that number is 415-287-0074. And And going in with that, Tony, what is my job as a parent? My job as a parent is for me to make the better decisions for my daughter. So I must make those better decisions. And you said, well, I'm the one that is not telling my daughter, and yes, I'm going to go ahead and make the decision for her. Well, as a minor and that being my child, not only in that am I making the decisions for her, not only in that area or the sports area, but I'm making the decision for her in choices of schools at that particular age. I'm also making the choices for her in maybe some of her clothing wear because she is a young lady and those things too. So we must look at am I particularly trying to, I'm not particularly trying to control everything here, but am I trying to get something out of it? Yes, Tony. Well, I mean, we all want something. Hey, heck, I may play the lotto tonight, but I want something out of the lotto.
But what I'm saying is, and I understand that where you're saying, okay, we want to look out for the best interest of our child. When it comes to Little League football, an area that kids are supposed to have fun, I think this is probably the most fun part of this thing that's been taken out of it. That part of the game has been taken out of it because it has become a business. Little League football is a big money business, folks. I'm telling you, you hear it here, it's a big money business. So that's why I'm telling you, when you start adding the money value in, it took out your idea of what's in the best interest of your child. Because your best interest of a child might have been to say, hey, I want to play on the east side. I want to be with my friends at this point of the game. Money came into play. Now, to me, that took out the best interest. You can't tell me the best interest was in that because now the best interest was coming the almighty dollar. It wasn't the best interest of the child. And this is going on, folks. I'm telling you. Kelsey, when you see it, you see people making big money at these games. I'm telling you. That's why I producers use the word. Is it like modern day slavery? I don't know. Some people say it's along those lines of pimping, more or less. They didn't, you know, they say, well, you know, slavery is a wrong word to use. Don't use the word slavery. Why not? Are we scared of that word if that's what it is? If that's truly what it is, are we scared of that word? And I think that's what's happening. Some people are scared of that word.
Okay, we have a call out there. Jeff Jones, go ahead and chime in and just give us something of what you feel on this topic, sir.
Jeff Jones, you with us?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm enjoying the show, guys, I must say. I just called in and basically come in on the topic about slavery in Little League football. Well,
go ahead, give us your opinion on it.
Over time, things tend to evolve, and that's what Little League football has done. It's evolved. So, I mean, we can go along with it or we can fight it. But at the same time, these guys are out here, they're playing their hearts out, and they have to wait till they get on the NFL level before they're actually compensated for their hard work. No, I don't think so. I mean, these kids, who's to say some of these kids don't have a decent pair of shoes or a ride to the football field, or they go home and they don't have lights on, or they don't have food in the fridge. And you got someone who wants to come over and compensate them for their kid's talent. Why not?
I
don't think it's such a big deal. Look at the thing that's going on with Reggie Bush now. They want, you know, with his
highs
and
stuff.
That's
what I'm saying.
These kids are being slaves. They're not being compensated. So I think that, yeah, they should be compensated for what they do.
At this level, does it corrupt the kid when they get ready to go to high school? Because there's no paying at that level. So now do we corrupt them? And then all of a sudden there's a window to where it's not been, and are we able to control that? Because at one point it was a bidding war for this kid. Now there's no bidding war. Now this kid's going to be hard to control on the field. That's what I'm saying. Is it corrupting the kid? To a standpoint. Or is the person helping the kid because they truly want to help the kid, or they're helping the kid because of what they want out of the kid? That's going to always be the question.
Well, I don't think so. Unfortunately, this world is a world that you need money to thrive in, whether you're a little league kid or a high school student or in college or in the NFL. This world thrives on money. I mean, we're not living 200 years ago when you were a pimp, you were doing things for free, or you had to do what the slave master say. But unfortunately now, if the parents are benefiting from the kid's talent, so what? That's what I say. Let them benefit. Get paid.
And that's
going to teach them later on not to sell themselves cheap. You know, you're worth something. This is your value for your speed, for your talent. You're being compensated. Work hard, and this is what you achieve at an early age. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And Jeff, great point. And I fill in with, I mean, in the have and have nots, okay, in the have nots, those we said were the parents that are going to take the money for means of, okay, I'm going to pay my light bill. I'm going to pay my car note. I'm going to get clothes for my kid to go to school. In those things, that may get where you're abusing that particular choice. But in the haves, we said, Jeff, that those are the parents that maybe are going to do it for, well, I want my kid to be in a successful position to move to the next level, which is where I come in saying that I wanted my daughter, yes, I would choose my daughter to be in a success. I want her to be in a successful place so she can move on. I'm not really looking for the money, Jeff, but I'm telling you that there are parents that are out there that are taking buku money, Jeff. I'm talking about thousands of dollars that are way exceeded over what this kid may be, you know, what he should be exposed to at that particular time. You follow me?
Okay, yeah, I'm following you.
So,
we can't put a label on it. I mean, from the beginning, for your kids at that level, you want them to grow and become a famous football player, and then you're looking at that big payday. Am I right or wrong?
You're looking at that, but Jeff, now this is Tony, you're looking at that payday then. But I think you let the kids have fun now. I think you let, because that's going to come down the line, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough down the line. I'm willing to bet you to corral that kid back in and tell him that.
That fun thing is a thing of the past. Kids want to go out there and win, and they look at these NFL players on television, and they see what they have and the nice things that how they're enjoying life. And I think they want to be there. I mean, these kids are on a different level these days. You got the internet, you got cable TV, and they get it, and they see them, you know, now these athletes, they're like a lot of hands-on with the kids now, and they see these things up front, and that's what they want.
I understand that's what they want, and we're not saying not for them to enjoy it. But the innocence of Little League football, understand? Because the kids are not really, when you look at this thing in a real world, the kids are not really getting paid. The people that they're playing for are the people that paid them to play. Those are the people that's getting paid. So now, okay, I'll take out the word slavery. I'll take out the word slavery if you guys feel that that's
okay.
A little appropriate. But I would think it's called pimping it on, if that's what you want to use the word then. Because if they're not getting the benefits
that's,
of
that's a bit harsh, man.
But I'm saying, look at the system now. Who's making the most money?
I can attest to that. I witnessed some of those things going on around the fields. But, I mean, look, basically what you have in the audience are single moms bringing their kids out there. And, you know, there's the got to admit, there's not a lot of fathers out there. There's some fathers there, but a lot of these women who bring their kids out there are single moms, and they do need help. That's where I'm looking at it at. I mean, if they can earn a little money off their kids' talent, I don't think it should be a big problem.
Look at
what's going on with LeBron. When, you know, his mother got a little payback, a little change. You know, they made a big thing. These people need money, basically. In times, especially living in the times that we're living in now, the economical situations, people need help, man. And that's what they have to do. I don't think it's a form of hoeing and pimping or slavery. It's get paid, get your money. You're offering your talents, be compensated for it.
And Jeff, you got a good point there. Thank you for calling in, Jeff. You keep on listening to the show, be a fan of the show, and I appreciate everything. Stay with us.
Okay, man. Okay. Take care, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, you take care. Okay, Tony, he made a good point there in saying LeBron's mom took money, and even to tie in there real quickly and say that you have Reggie Bush, his parents needed money, and they needed money for a house. They were living nowhere, so they needed money for a house. But look what it cost them. And look what it cost them. Look at the situation now, and I understand LeBron's situation. LeBron was in high school, getting ready to go to the pros. Right before, that's when he took his money. I'm talking about at the little league level, people. That's the part that we're missing, the little league level. Not at the high school, not at the college professional rankings. That's a whole nother topic, a whole nother story that we can get on. On that side of the story, then, yeah, I'm with it. But when you take out the innocence of a child, then I have always have had a problem with that because I feel, playing the game as long as I feel, have played it, I feel that's where the innocence come in. I know we got another caller on the phone from Florida. We're going to go ahead. Caller, are you there? Go ahead,
hello?
Caller. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm calling too because I have a problem with it also. If you're going to talk about the average Joe, I'm going to call him the average Joe, okay? You got the first nip this in the bud where it started from. It ain't started at the little league level. And you're talking about the innocence. These little high school boys, yeah, they're innocent too. They're not full-grown young men. So you got to look at it too. It's not just at the little league level. It stems from the high school level also. So you got to get the big wigs. You got to attack them too. Don't just attack the average Joe. It's not all about that. And this is directed to Tony.
So are you saying, and we have Cassandra on the line, are you saying, Cassandra, that the high school kid is still looked at as a minor also.
Exactly. Those college coaches, they come in and they come into to our neighborhoods and come talk and give our mothers and fathers all these fancy talk about what they can do for our kids. Of course, yeah, they give them an education, okay? But if those little boys get out of line, they give those boys, they take them through ATAA.
I understand.
Their lives
and that's
really messed up. So you can call that modern day slavery too, can't you?
I mean, when you look at it, I understand that perspective, but there's a give and take there. But when you look at this little league level, the innocence of the game, people, understand it's going to get a business down the line. Keep the innocence of the kid now. Keep the innocence of the kid going right now. Because that's what innocence thing has got to happen.
The kids don't know nothing about what these parents are doing. The kids don't know nothing about what these parents are doing. Only the parents know what these kids are receiving from these coaches.
And you answered my question correctly. When they said the kid doesn't have a choice because the parents is buying and selling.
I said the kids don't know. I didn't say they don't have a choice. The kids don't know that these parents are receiving this kind of pay from these guys.
You're answering my question. When you place it like that, you're answering my question. The kids don't know. God come
That's
in
right.
and sell the kid, parents sell the kid without the kid even knowing. You got some kids that come away from Fort Lauderdale that go damn near 50 hours to play for a team. That they've been sold
okay, well, my point is that, okay, the guys, the coaches who come from the colleges, And they sell these dreams to these parents and stuff. They know. So what are you gonna say about them?
And you don't feel like that's
robbing their innocence too? And they're doing it right there in their face.
and Cassandra, it is robbing their innocence, and that you make a great point on that too. The parents have to be aware of that, but then it's not so much the kid being involved. Okay, thank you for calling in, Cassandra. We have another caller on the line, calling all the way from Lawrence, Kansas. Hassan, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Hassan?
Yeah, I was listening to the show. It's a good show. You know, it's nice to, I know Tony personally, man. It's really good to hear everything that's going on, what you guys are talking about, because it's a pertinent issue that's going on in the community right now, especially the black community. I just have a question, you know, in terms of, from a coach's point of view, what happens when the child doesn't meet the expectations? Because if somebody is paying thousands of dollars, like you say, for a child, then there comes with that a lot of expectations from that child. And what happens when the child doesn't meet those expectations? So, is it that, you know?
Good question, Hassan. Good question, in that it gets pretty harsh at that point. To be honest with you, it gets pretty harsh at that point, because then those coaches have, with anything else, Hassan, those coaches have paid for a product, and they want to see that product turn out on the field. And when that product does not turn out, then, the parents are going to hear about it. Most importantly, the kid is going to hear about it, and it may be right there on the field at that time when it shouldn't be blasted out, but that kid will get blasted at that point in time because there's dollars and cents involved.
And to a standpoint, it's on where you've seen it. Hey, this is not what I paid for. And they have said this to kids. I have seen it. I got a source today that said a kid was pushed down at a Little League field where a kid was bought, and he stated, this is not what I paid for. Man, I got a lot of money riding on you. Is that pressure
right
that you want to put on a Little League kid? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's why I say you snatched away the innocence. Now look at this kid's mind. You understand what I'm saying?
That's what I'm referring to. It's like the responsibility that's bestowed upon this child that, you know, you don't know even know if the child can handle it, you know, but yet you got these expectations. The parent does as well. If the parent is willing to accept that, then they're looking to really push their child forward to make money for them. Maybe, like you said, if the have-nots are having, you know, they're the have-nots, so they're looking for ways to make money. So they're like, oh, okay, I have a child, so let's use the child to make this money. And then the haves, you're trying to, you know, and betterment their career or whatever. You want to put them on that track, and so you have the money and the resources to do it. Still, it just seems that, you know, you're still bestowing a lot of responsibility on this child and to perform in the way that you want them to. And it does seem and appears like slavery, because, you know, you're asking them to run fast, to jump high, and they're young, they're kids, and you're asking them to do a lot, you know, more than they should be doing, where they should just go out and just enjoy the sport and just have fun. You're you know.
And you're correct there, Hassan. You are absolutely correct. And that's something that parents have to look at on both sides, even the coaches also. Thanks for calling in, Hassan. We appreciate you. Stay with us. And we want to hear from you next week also, but we'll have a good topic next week for you also, Hassan.
All right. Thanks a lot, brothers. Peace.
Like I said, go ahead. Go Jayhawks.
Go Jayhawks, yeah. Sure.
All right. See you, Hassan. All right, folks, I hope that you enjoyed that hype time. It was all of that and what we say, a bag of chips. I loved it. Tony, it was good. That's a topic that is not going to go away. It's something that's there to stay, and we see it now from the Little League all the way up to even entering into college football. So, fans, we're glad that you tuned in with us. Make sure that you're with us next week. We'll be at all of the local games this week, namely, probably out at the Cardinal Gibbons Cardinal Gibbons University School game, or possibly at the St. Thomas BA game. So look for us out there, Kelsey Dudley and Tony Sands. And We're signing off here, getting ready to get out of here, fans. Remember that a family that prays together stays together. And, Tony, give us something to go away with.
We thank y'all for listening in, guys, and that's why we left that question up to you. Is it or isn't it? Don't get upset of it. Research it. Find out what it is. Those that wasn't able to understand it, look into it. Think about it. Ponder on it. Food for thought, people. Food for thought. We love you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Peace out there and love.